Market moving insight and analysis. Join Jim Cramer, David Faber, and me, Carl Quintanilla, on the opening bell hour of CNBC Squawk on the Street. Good Wednesday morning. Welcome to Squawk on the Street. I'm Carl Quintanilla with Jim Cramer and David Faber. Futures are steady, coming off the first loss in five for stocks, trying to avoid the first back-to-back loss in 3 weeks. Bank earnings roll on with Goldman, Wells, B of A, and at least seven Fed speakers are on the docket today. Our roadmap begins with bank earnings in focus. BAC, Goldman, and Wells all crossing the tape, highlighting a diverging story about resilience in the face of the pandemic.
Carl, I'm going to send it back to you. I got it. Trial is paused. The FDA reportedly uncovering quality control concerns at an Eli Lilly plant set to manufacture its COVID antibody treatment. And Apple debuts its new 5G phone lineup. Of note for investors and customers alike, speedier devices also coming with an even heftier price tag. Carl, back over to you.
All right, Jim, on the banks this morning, a conversation once again about loss provisions, although also about bond trading at Goldman.
Well, look, I don't think it's just bond trading. I think that Goldman did a remarkable job actually taking some share, which I say remarkable because imagine you're at home, you're Zooming, and you're taking share from others. I do believe that Goldman's back to its old ways, which is that it's a dry cleaner. It doesn't have any risk. Remember, a dry cleaner, what do we do with a dry cleaner? We give them our clothes, and then we pick them up, and they make money. And that has been the Goldman way until a couple of years where I think it got a little wayward, where it became much more about, hey, let's invest in this, let's invest in that. No, I mean, to me, what they're investing in that I really like is they're investing in their phone. Where is my phone? Right here. They're investing in the credit card, for heaven's sake. The credit card, it's got unbelievable pull. It is really something that I did not think Goldman would do because a lot of people felt that they were going to lose a lot of money in it. Instead, it's working. It's contactless. Of course, Apple won't let you say how many they have. But on all of these things, on the dry cleaner aspect, on this taking in fixed income, on the growth of the credit card, which I think once we start traveling, it's going to be terrific. David, I've got to tell you, I think it's old Goldman. Of course, they can't buy back stock. The book value, David, is so high versus where the stock is. What do you say happens here?
What do I say happens here? I think rates probably went out yet again. Nobody wants to invest in this sector, Jim.
I know. Okay.
That doesn't seem to matter, does it? How would you term those earnings yesterday? I mean, a lot of people made... they said, listen, reserve releases were very helpful. You talked about the calls. You mentioned that at this very time, prior to when they sort of, at least the Citi one had gotten underway. Those stocks didn't react well.
No,
yesterday.
Citi pulled things down because Citi realized that they're spending $1 billion on technology. Every year, Bank of America spends $3 billion. I mean, maybe the whole book value screwed up because of how much they have to spend.
Maybe. I mean, listen, to your point, Goldman's numbers were quite strong. I'm looking through all the slides here.
It's the old Goldman. But you're right, David. It's a cohort. The ETFs can be, ETFs are like Newton, okay? It's gravity. It pulls them down.
But global markets were quite strong. Net revenues and equities up 10% over the third quarter.
Maybe.
To your point about book value.
Maybe when
I'm just looking through things that net revenues and consumer banking obviously is hardly anything at this point still for them. Just sort of trying to see. We talk about markets so often. It's still a decimal point, basically. It's a rounding error.
Have you ever seen David Solomon be a DJ?
No, I've never seen him in
person. I have great pictures of it. He's really amazing.
What does that have to do with Marcus?
Nothing at all.
Oh. Okay.
I'm just trying to distinguish him from the rest of the banks.
I got it.
But David, you're right. Steven Schur, by the way, is a tough guy.
Yes.
He's not like the previous CFO. I don't want to cross him.
Right.
Do you feel like crossing him?
I actually like him.
Reuters crossed him the other day.
Did they?
Yeah. Interesting.
I got no issues with him. I've known him for years.
Well, I just think that, look, it's a good quarter. It's the best house in the worst neighborhood that I've come across other than Concho and Concho and Conoco. Good. Two drunk sailors get together.
That's a Bloomberg story you're referring to. We'll keep an eye on Concho's shares.
So therefore it's not real?
I'm not saying it's not real. I'm just referencing where it comes from because it's not as though there's been an announcement.
No announcement.
There's no press release.
But I'm saying there's oil and gas. That's
news
tobacco.
Organization.
Okay, Carl, oil and gas or tobacco, totally uninvestable, okay? I mean, I don't care. Master limited partnerships, natural gas. I don't care. Conoco, do whatever the hell you want, okay? I don't really care. Then there's banks. And banks there's some that are investable, hoping that one day they'll raise rates. But it doesn't matter. Goldman's considered a bank. It's not considered an investment bank. When we see Morgan Stanley, James Gorman will come one, I hope.
Yeah, I think he might.
Right?
I think we got a shot.
I mean, it's a public plea now.
I think we got
the behind-the-scenes plea failed.
I know.
Now I'm going with the public plea.
I did. He did come on last week with another show.
Well, he's been on so much. I think he's overexposed.
The Eaton Vance deal. But to your point, they have a very different complexion at Morgan Stanley
so
than does Goldman Sachs. Goldman does versus Wells Fargo, yes, or Bank of America.
Well, Wells Fargo. Yeah, that stagecoach needs a little work there.
Wells did not come in particularly
No, but Carl,
well.
The main thing I'm saying is that there's one day there'll be differentiation, but right now there isn't. Citi was able to pull down everything. I mean, the Citi call was a not great call. And I don't know, Charlie Scharf, media shy? What do you think? Will he be media shy if the Senate goes Democrat and Elizabeth Warren's head of the banking committee, David? What do you think that would be like?
Well, you think right. He, well, I don't know. There he is.
I don't know. Carl, I'll tell you how it'll be like. It'll be awful.
There's his.
It'll be theater.
We'll see. There's a lot of interesting commentary on the trajectory of the race and how polling may or may not be right. But Jim, larger 30,000 feet, have we answered the question yet about how deposits can be so strong and loan growth be so weak? Why aren't these banks taking a gamble on the American consumer if they say such nice things about the recovery?
Well, I think they'll take a gamble if you have a business that you're not afraid of. I mean, I think social distancing and the way that you have to have just a few people in your restaurant or whatever store you have has made it so that it may not be worth borrowing right now. I mean, I think that's part of the problem is that there's just, and plus the whole country's in flux, city into suburb. So you got to give that time in order to be able to foment new stores. And they will happen. I mean, I was speaking to one of the big bankers at one of these banks this morning. He said, listen, it's only a matter of time before new stores come up to replace the old stores. But right now, to take a loan in order to expand is so foolhardy because you have no idea whether the customers will come if there's a second or third wave. David, have you noticed that people down south are telling us that we're sissies?
Yeah.
How do you feel about that?
I don't feel good about that at all. And I don't agree with that in any way, shape, or form.
I won't go to the Eagles. I was invited to the Eagles to be one of the new people. You know, they sent a memo out.
But before we start talking about the divisions in our country again, can we come back to the banks? We didn't really get through them here. We talked about Goldman, and then you got very upset about it. And Wells did not do particularly well, although, to Carl's point, on deposits, as a reflection especially of the state of the U.S. consumer, at least some of them, it's extraordinary. I mean, we talked about it yesterday.
Yes.
J.P. Morgan up 30%. Think about those numbers.
I know.
Citi up 16%. Bank of America, which we haven't talked about, up 23%. And even Wells up 8%.
Even Wells Fargo
actually added deposits.
Everybody added deposits.
Is that a function of people not taking trips, of people not spending money on going out,
anything.
What are they doing?
Well, that's not true. Nothing.
They're redoing their homes.
Well, no, that's,
we know
that's
that.
Fine. They'll make an office in their home. Remember, Goldman did incredibly well with people who were at home.
And the other point is that the provisions for loan losses have not been what was anticipated in terms of at least from a negative perspective,
right,
Jim. They haven't been.
Well, I mean,
now, maybe it's all coming. And if we don't get the aid from Congress that everybody seems to think we need, and
right,
you certainly believe we need,
absolutely,
for those who we don't talk about enough,
right,
not the big companies, maybe it starts to filter in, but at this point, it's still not there in the data.
Well, but look at the forbearance
in terms of the
numbers,
loan loss provision.
The people who are on forbearance, do you know that? Well, that J.P. Morgan was very happy that 80% of them are now paying. It's even higher at Bank of America. They're
right,
about 90%.
Right.
How about those 20%? Have we just forget them?
I know.
Because of the fight between the Speaker Pelosi and Secretary Mnuchin? That's not right.
No, it's not right.
Well,
Hey, by the way, Carl, I see tremendous value in how much Bank of America, I'm going to just highlight that for a second, giving to banks in minority areas. We can't forget that. This is the kind of thing that we now must think about. And I think I have to praise them for what they're doing. I know J.P. Morgan's offering branches in those areas. But if we don't talk about it, then there'll be no shame for the banks that do nothing.
No, it's true. I mean, JPM's spending $30 billion on racial equality measures
That's
over
fabulous.
5 years. But to David's larger point, Jim, Barkin's on the tape this morning saying that 29% of the stimulus was spent, 35% was put into savings or debt payment, right? A lot of that money just went into building a cushion for households because they didn't know what was coming either.
Who knew that things could get somewhat under control in some areas by wearing masks? Who knew that the people who still think that masks don't matter, those people are, they're Luddites, and they are, frankly, the world is flat to them. But I do think that we've made a lot of progress. I think the therapeutic is good. I don't think the lily's such a setback. I think people are feeling brave, more brave. But I just worry about the cold. I worry about flu. I mean, I think, look about all the people who's, how many people used to sneeze on you all the time? David, sneezing on you means you're going to the hospital.
Well, it doesn't. And if you're wearing a mask and the other person is wearing a mask, you're in a much better position.
True. Thank you for saying that and correcting my hyperbole. It was hyperbole, David.
Yeah. I can see that our producers are putting something on the screen here that I guess they want us to talk about this exclusive Reuters story about some manufacturing issues at Lilly. It doesn't necessarily have to do with anything with the trial that they halted yesterday for their antibody cocktail. It relates separately, but... You know, Jim, we're getting closer and closer every day.
Yes.
We're going to hear from Pfizer. We're getting closer. We know Regeneron, actually, it's not a drug, of course. It's a company that makes the antibody cocktail as well that the president used to great effect, it would seem. We know those are getting closer. Lilly did pause, but we assume they will resume. There'll be some availability. Bill Gates, you heard him talking to Becky Quick earlier. There will be some availability of these therapeutics fairly soon. Let's listen to what Mr. Gates had to say in terms of how things are going to roll out over the next few months.
As we worked with all the different antibody companies, we ended up picking Eli Lilly as our partner. And so that antibody's gone into the factory we reserved. And it'll be until March before we have substantial volume coming out of that. In the meantime, Eli Lilly has offered up 100,000 doses once they get approval that will go to the low and middle income countries. And so we'll learn how to do the delivery as that factory capacity we have ramps up. So we're very excited about that. We hope that the safety, efficacy, all these things get cleared because it could save hundreds of thousands of lives.
Jim, that was fascinating to listen to him. And he is so knowledgeable and obviously talks with Anthony Fauci a great deal as well.
Right.
So knowledgeable in terms of infectious diseases, which has been a focus of the Gates Foundation for years prior, of course, to this pandemic.
Well, look, one of the things that David Ricks has to do with Eli Lilly, he has to talk about the mobile vans and how many lives he saved with his therapeutic in nursing homes, senior living. I'm surprised he didn't do that. I know he's not going to brag on a day when the feds are saying that maybe his factories aren't good. But this man has saved a lot. Lilly has saved a lot of lives with his therapeutic already. This is not some experimental drug that has not been used, but it's the nature of Eli Lilly. Perhaps it's Indiana and the way they are, meaning that they are hardcore people who do not promote themselves. I'll promote David Ricks. Carl, this thing has worked and saved many lives. It's not like it's just like one person has been hurt. They have helped a lot of people. He should come on. He should call in right now because he's working remote. David Ricks, not David Faber. I don't look up. David Ricks, please call in right now because I know how much you've done to help people in nursing homes.
Jim, it's a good point because so much attention this week on Lilly and AZN. NJ&J and some of these pauses. We'll take a break here. A lot of commentary to get to, including either upgrades or price target increases for Tesla, Activision, Netflix. We're going to watch Apple a day after that event with the new iPhone. We'll hear what Tim Cook had to say about that as the company bets on 5G. Don't go anywhere.
Every decade, there's a new generation of technology that provides a step change in what we can do with our iPhones. The next generation is here. Today is the beginning of a new era for iPhone.
That's Tim Cook at yesterday's Apple iPhone product event talking about the new iPhones that support 5G. Jim, that surprise appearance by Hans Vestberg, who even today is talking about nationwide service to 200 million Americans.
I think Hans is really a kind of different CEO. Now, He's not the former. He's not John Ledger. Okay, let's make that point because Ledger is a different sort of executive from everyone. But Hans Vestberg, he comes into that meeting and he makes me feel like I have got to go get the phone. Sorry, Tim. Tim knows. Tim does a great job, but now I got to get the phone. This phone is slow. I try to watch a lot of things on this phone, and it's just not good enough. So I want that phone. It is gorgeous, and it does look, the cracking thing, I mean, I don't know about you. I cracked my phone in Mexico, and it was it. It was like my lifeline. And I cracked it, and I got the splinters. You get the glass splinters. David, I don't know if you ever got the glass splinters.
No, I haven't, thankfully. I haven't.
And then my wife put it in the washing machine.
Good case.
She put the eight in the washing machine, yeah. Claims that she didn't know. It was in my pants.
She put it in the washing machine.
Yeah. And then she put it in a bag of rice and told me it would be better.
Well.
A bag of rice.
Got to do your own laundry. I guess that's the lesson there.
Yeah, there's.
Hey, listen.
That's a real takeaway, Dave. You got that.
Well, I'll give you another takeaway. And this is from Craig Moffitt, who we like to listen to, of course, Moffitt Nathanson. He says Verizon is the big winner here, in terms of his report, at least, being the good news. They bet big, of course, on millimeter wave spectrum. We've talked about that because there's always been some questions. Can it actually get through the trees and things like that? But he says, listen, Apple's now bet big with them. This wasn't a foregone conclusion. It's a clear victory for Verizon that Apple nonetheless went all in on millimeter wave. Both of Verizon's two main wave bands, 28 gig and 39 as well, are supported across the new handset lineup. And, of course, Hans Vestberg was there, and that lends credence, he says, to the idea that Apple may view Verizon's deployment of millimeter wave as a differentiator, perhaps not relative to AT&T, or T-Mobile, Jim.
Yeah, I thought that was really interesting.
It is.
As a Verizon guy, always hectored by John Ledger, who's not there anymore, although he still hectors me in direct message.
I get direct message as well from him. Always happy to hear from John Ledger. Hope he gets another job somewhere soon.
Oh, and I are talking about a gig.
Yeah, all right. But tell me your thoughts here on this that I just shared with you.
You know what? I have been waiting. Do you remember Hans Vestberg's predecessor?
Of course I do. Of course.
Lowell promised to me in the San Francisco, the one, it was the Super Bowl. It was the one with the Panthers.
Yep.
He said, look, it's going to be here. We're all going to use it. But that was a long time ago. It's finally here. And I feel like we got to use it.
Right.
I felt very like China yesterday.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You felt like China yesterday?
China has it everywhere.
They have it everywhere. We don't have it everywhere. We have it starting, but not really available.
I saw the ads. He said we have it everywhere.
Yeah, well.
Well, the ads are a lie. You call them a liar?
I'm just saying that, are you able to get up on it right now?
I don't know. I have 4G.
You've got a 4G, right? So, by the way, so does everybody else.
I want the 5G.
I'm sure you do.
Carl, this
you'll
was
soon be able to have it available. Whether or not, I'd be curious to see how many places it actually works.
How many people called this a yawn? What I really loved is like Tim Cook had not got on the stage. And there were commentators, and you know who they are, who are saying, oh, this is a real yawn. This is not anything. I mean, what do they do?
T-Mobile and AT&T, Jim, already have 5G, but it's in low frequencies in terms of their coverage. And small block widths for the spectrum mean the user experience not really any better than 4G right now.
Well, I think Verizon, I don't know. I have to go test it.
Yeah. Yeah.
Hans Vestberg, come on, David.
The question is.
Hans Vestberg.
What about him?
I think he has a reputation for honesty and for getting it right.
Verizon has always bet on the network. That's always been it. That's been the focus, beginning with Ivan Seidenberg. All the decisions, many of them being the right decisions that he made.
Tail gunner in Vietnam on a helicopter.
Right, yep, Bronx boy, and then on to Lowell McAdam and now to Mr. Vestberg. They have not gone the way AT&T has. It's been a very different approach. But don't forget T-Mobile, which really is the story of the last 10 years of wireless.
No, that's absolutely true. But, Carl, I've got to tell you, I felt different. Hans Vestberg was a surprise. I think the phone is a surprise. I think that this fact that stock was down was because it was up 6 the day before, which is stupid. That's those people that David's talking about. They're like, oh, there is a big unveiling. I'll buy the stock beforehand, and then I will profit. David, these people are what? What do you think these people are? Are they chowderheads? Are they mountebanks? Are they knaves?
I think it was a bespoke yesterday, Jim, that said of iPhone events, I think 4 days out of 15 have seen the stock rise on the day of the event. So that was classic Apple fashion, to be sure.
I don't know.
We'll take a break here. We'll get to UNH, which has some pretty interesting commentary, raising guide for the full year, but saying that next year is going to be incredibly hard to predict. We're back in a minute.
All right, we've got 2 minutes before we get started with trading on hump day here. But you want to talk again about this potential Concho deal reported by Bloomberg that has ConocoPhillips in talks to buy them.
Yeah, well, look, I think that ConocoPhillips is actually well-financed. Remember, they actually raised their dividend by a penny. I thought that was curious last week. But you know what? Concho is a company. I think this is what's incredible. You're talking about a company that pared costs radically, that has fabulous Permian, Delaware Basin. We always want to be in the Delaware Basin. But this is what's really important. The market cap of this company 3 years ago was $20 billion, and now it's at $8 billion with a good balance sheet and absolutely fantastic properties. It makes total sense. This is one of those oil companies, David, that cut back. Remember how there was this headlong, look, let's just drill?
Yes.
No, this company showed discipline. And for their discipline, maybe they get picked off. Fabulous presentation at Barclays about a month ago, where you can see their fantastic Permian positions. I am sure that this would be additive to Conoco, and it makes a ton of sense. This is not, David, while I have you.
Yes.
This is not like the Occidental Anadarko. It is a little more like the Noble, but that's a very small deal.
Okay, right, Chevron buying Noble, and that obviously gave them natural gas off the coast of Israel and Egypt.
The Leviathan field, David, yes. You're so right. If they can get that pipeline into Greece, they could get rid of the whole Gazprom.
Right, the whole Russian into Europe thing.
But they won't do it.
Who won't do it?
The countries will block it.
Oh, really?
I'm hoping that Chevron.
But, right, like, that was an interesting deal. As you point out, a small deal for Chevron. This would be a larger deal in terms of ConocoPhillips, but would give them, as you say, the Permian and good assets there, which continues to be our Saudi Arabia.
Yes, and Concho has long been considered to be one of the smarter companies. So this makes a ton of sense if they do it. By the way, WPX did a deal. I don't know if you saw that little deal.
Yeah.
Now that
Yeah, with Devon Energy, yeah.
The really interesting thing about that, David, I'll give you a little hint. Rick Moncrief is going to run that company. Now, he's from WPX. Devon is not going to run the company. And that's because Rick Moncrief is known as the man who built Continental Resources. Not a person we have on time.
I don't know him. I remember Sidney.
You don't know Rick Moncrief?
Sidney Moncrief, I remember. Great basketball player. Great defensive basketball
player. Oh, my God. He's a great outside. Were you UCLA?
Yeah.
Played for UCLA?
Didn't he play for Milwaukee, too, for years? I forget.
Yeah, he played for the Bucks, David.
Yeah.
But one thing that I want to point out about Rick Moncrief is I was in a helicopter with him looking at everything in the Bakken. And after like an hour, I realized I was with the Einstein of oil.
Huh.
Einstein of oil.
The Einstein of oil. Not the Niels Bohr of oil.
No.
Not the von Neumann of oil.
No.
Not Leo Szilard of oil. The Edwin Teller of oil.
I did not say Da Vinci because we know who Da Vinci is.
Yes, we do.
Jensen
Huang.
Look at that stock, Carl. Look at NVIDIA. Will you look at that? Burn your eyes out if you watch it too closely.
It's seen worse days, that's for sure, Jim. UNH is going to be our laggard on the Dow this morning, Jim. As they say, going into 2021, we envision stepping out initially with a more conservative all-in 2021 starting point, just because the economic impacts from COVID at this point, as you were saying a moment ago about what the winter portends, is just going to be, it's hard to call right now.
A lot of delayed surgery, a lot of delayed everything. I don't know about you. I know so many people who have delayed things because they're afraid to go to a hospital. But they're going to start doing it because they're feeling more emboldened. So, but remember, UNH has often lowered expectations. And every time they do that, if you take a look at the chart, every time you do that, you have to buy. So let's not panic on UNH. Those who are furiously selling it, remember that it does come back. Look at the chart. They always are conservative, and then they crush the numbers. I like the way they are. I think it's good. Remember, they're independent of the ACI, David.
Meaning what? Meaning
they pulled out.
They're not in the exchanges.
Not in any exchanges.
Right. Unlike Cigna, which is.
And Centene.
Centene, yeah.
Right. Carl, these exchanges are so variable that you have to, if you're Democrat or Republican, you got to realize that it needs some change.
Well, it does. But, what is going to be? November 10th is when the Supreme Court hears that on the ACA, right? So it all could go away.
That would be unbelievable. how many people would be uncovered.
Yeah, be a lot of people. Goes back, to Carl, of course, to the hearings going on, continue today, and the many questions that Amy Barrett has gotten on how she would rule on that. Of course, she says not much.
Right. Didn't get a whole lot of guidance on her legal views, per se, yesterday, but day two of Q&A continues. Jim, Netflix up almost 2%. We got a new street high out of Heath Terry over at Goldman. It goes to 670. They do report next week. Actually, it was Goldman, Jim, Cowen at 625 now, and Piper at 534.
Yeah, we're now playing that game.
We see a lot of optimism going into that print.
Yeah, we're playing that game. It's interesting because Netflix is, again, like Roku, all part of the same trade. It's the go, nowhere, do nothing trade. That's why Domino's does so well. I mean, you literally just, what do people do? I mean, I got together the other day, I mentioned on the show that I got together with 20 people. Can I just tell you, it was outside. Do you know the heat I got from people who said, well, how could you, you are so irresponsible, 20 people. It was outside.
Okay. I took the subway yesterday.
You did?
I did. What do you think of that?
Did you have an N95 one?
There I am.
Is that an N95?
No, that's just everybody was masked. Look how clean it is. Perfectly pleasant.
You took a picture of it to show me.
Well, I actually sent it to Todd, Owen, and our executive producer.
I took a picture of me going to my garden.
And to my producer, Carrie. I just wanted them to both know.
I'm so proud of you. You're really something.
It's very quiet, very clean, because they clean it every night now. Everybody was in a mask. And it's still the best way to go around town.
Yeah, well, how many people versus usual?
I'd say it's like 30% of capacity, somewhere in there.
That's 30. What it is in Philadelphia, too. Yeah. Yeah. I take the subway in Philadelphia.
When?
I go to the Eagles, but I'm not going to the Eagles.
No, you're not.
I mean, they offer,
you are having 20 people outside.
I was offered tickets yesterday, and I'm not going
to
go.
Back to Netflix for a moment there. My friend, we got some other notes here also.
What, the Piper?
Moffitt Nathanson was out as well. Remains, of course, atop the SVOD market, maintaining over 70% penetration of streaming households. Total market continues to grow. You know, interesting, though, how many people now are using it on a daily basis versus versus kind of a few times a week. User streaming content on a daily basis at Netflix, flat at 43%, Jim.
Yeah, but
while 36% used it a few times a week. That was down about 3%.
Carl, it used to be that you needed to have a water cooler kind of production. Remember, they'll drop a production and more people sign up. There's nothing. I'm trying to figure out what they did this. I mean, I want to see if Amazon's doing better because The Boys is so great.
You know, yeah. But better, you know, first of all, they all are dealing with this production gap that is going to make their libraries or what they have available a little more paltry than it's been in the past.
Are they going to do bubbles, like a Toronto bubble, like the NBA? We can fill stuff?
No. I mean, there are things, Carl, I believe you follow this stuff closely. There are things that are back in production, I believe, but it's not uniform at all, is it?
No, and we've seen a couple instances where, at least on major films like Batman, you know, COVID case, got to shut the set for 2 weeks. So incrementally, there's been a bit of a slowdown. But I guess, Jim, the larger point is that the flywheel goes beyond Netflix. Every incremental streaming service feeds the idea that cord cutting continues, right?
Yeah, you'll see Roku up. I mean, people can't resist recommending Roku. They just can't. I mean, it's like, well, let's take Roku up. The company by itself is very non-promotional, but it's one of those stocks. You know, it's the Roku, Peloton. We know what they are, right? And then you get Fastly. It's actually Fastly, but a competitor who also does gambling calls it Fastly, and then people buy it. He says, go buy Fastly. I'm not kidding. Everybody, by the way, the Robin Hoodies, they got gobsmacked by Royal Caribbean, raising a little money right in their faces.
Man, look at this name.
What?
Fastly.
Oh, no, Fastly is the one they use.
Right.
It's like, let's buy Fastly today.
$13 billion market value.
You know,
what's the multiple to sales here? Any idea at this point? Jim, you followed it, I know, fairly closely.
It's certainly over. They're trying to get it, I think, to pass Snowflake.
Right.
Right? Isn't that the goal? $13 billion market capitalization. Not a lot of earnings there, David, when you think about it. Mm-hmm. Like zero. But Fastly has a following. And it's actually called Fastly, but it has a following like the old days. It's like, David, it's become like, you know, when the Beatles came to New York,
Yes.
Or do something more recent. I don't know. They have a following like who? Who do your kids follow?
My kids? Depends.
Taylor Swift?
Maybe not really. I mean, no. I know. Like Justin Bieber a few years ago? Wasn't he one of the biggest?
Well, they're going from 200 billion. Carl, they're going from 298 million in revs
trying to guess
400 in revs. And that is attractive to this cohort. It's like they're trying to get tickets. They come in every day and they try to get tickets to shows. And this is the Fisley show, which, by the way, produces fast internet for none other than, I have to mention this because David has it, TikTok. And the New York Times was just recommended today. That's what Fastly does.
Right.
They make it Fastly.
Right.
It's like nicely and Guys and Dolls. Fastly.
And when it comes to TikTok, by the way, we still got to wait for that judge less than a month from now, right? A few weeks from now, when we're going to get a ruling in terms of whether the U.S. can prevent it from essentially operating here. We haven't heard anything on that deal, by the way, Jim.
Nothing.
At all.
Just crickets.
Remember that? Oracle.
Crickets.
Walmart. Nothing.
Just crickets. You want another one that they're in? That they go to every day? The hoodies?
Tell me.
Fiverr. Online marketplace. F-V-R-R. Put that one up. This is what they go for. This is like K2. This is so dangerous. Look at this one.
What does it do?
Does it matter?
No, but what does it do?
Well, it does. Well, it's an online marketplace for selling, you know, a lot of, you know, your good services. They help you. If you want to design something, they'll go over and help you. They have actual people
yeah.
who help you Photoshop. And it's actual, it makes your business come alive with pleasure. Will you look at that? That's, Carl, that is this new cohort. Like stocks that go higher. They're not buying Wells Fargo.
That is unreal. 675%.
We have to ask them if they know what it does. We need a quiz.
Is that the new test for your, do you know what the business does?
I think it would be radical. It'd be radical if they knew what it did.
It's a Tel Aviv company.
I don't know.
You don't know what it does either.
Well, and they help you. It's actually a person.
Oh, they help you.
Yeah, the person helps.
That explains a lot. They help you.
Yeah, they help you.
They're here to help.
They're into Etsy, by the way, because of masking. Because Etsy sells hundreds of millions of dollars.
Oh, the Robin Hooders are.
The Robin Hooders.
What are you calling them now? Hoodies?
The Robin Hoodies.
The Hoodies.
The Hoodies. No offense to Zuckerberg doesn't wear the hoodies anymore. He wears a really nice sweater.
Yeah.
It's off the rack.
Your little boy's growing up.
Do you know that there's a suit place in Westchester that outfitted him and it's got a picture of him?
Really?
Yeah.
I didn't know that. Guys.
Fiverr.
Maybe, listen, here's a name that maybe some of them would know. And I mentioned it this morning because it's not one that comes up often. But I took a look at it this morning because there was some new research on it. The New York Times. Have you seen the shares of the New York Times over the last 5 years?
That's a great piece of research. It says basically game, set, match. So they're the only ones that have 13 million subscribers.
NYT, unique opportunity to scale its paid subscriber base in a growing global premium news market.
Yeah.
And they have a $55 price target.
Have you noticed that the president doesn't call it the failing New York Times anymore?
Well, it's hard to call it, and that's Morgan Stanley, by the way, hard to call it failing when you look at what's happened over the last 5 years. I mean, this thing's now got an actual market cap, over $7 billion.
They figured it out.
Sulzbergers are living large again.
They figured out, Carl, it is a juggernaut. They figured out the paid model. It turned out that the free model wasn't so great. They almost all went out of business.
No, digital's working for them. Have they benefited from the Trump presidency?
Very much so.
Yeah.
Oh, boy, can you imagine if someone boring became president? Maybe the numbers would go down.
It's possible.
They are
a lot of engagement.
They're considered to be. I'm reading Hoax right now.
Mm-hmm.
That's Fox does well. Very inspired.
Hoax is whose book? That's
Stelter.
Stelter's book.
Helter Stelter.
Got it. Yep.
Not bad, Carl. That was a very interesting upgrade.
Indeed,
Jim. It's got real movement.
Yeah.
A lot of the upgrades are they have real action today. I have no Fiverr. Yep. Fiverr, though, we got to talk more Fiverr and Fastly. That's what we're talking about. Period.
Well, we didn't get to Peloton, New Street High, 144 at Truist. We didn't get to some of the downgrades, Jim, of stocks that we talked a lot about early in the pandemic. Kroger cut at Wells.
I know.
Constellation cut at Atlantic, right?
Oh, that was painful. They say depletions are bad. Kroger, very competitive. The piece read like an upgrade. I don't know. They didn't want to offend Kroger. You know why they didn't want to offend Kroger? Because has anyone ever spoken to Rodney? To Rodney McMullen? I once said something negative about Kroger, and I was like going to cry after I spoke to him.
He was mad at you?
No, the opposite.
Oh.
He said, listen, he wanted to explain why I was wrong.
Oh, okay. Well, that's a better approach.
It was a great approach.
I think that always works. I think that works well. A lesson for all chief executives who get upset.
When they, Carl,
by the way, maybe one day Charlie Scharf will have that conversation with me as opposed to you.
Charlie Scharf.
That Wells Fargo is down about 3%.
He's a sweetheart.
And Bank of America also down almost 3%.
Who's nice?
Carl,
who's nicer, Stephen Schur or Charlie Scharf?
Saying who? What?
Who's nicer, Stephen Schur or Charlie Scharf?
They're both very serious, rigorous guys.
They are.
How about that?
I like them. They are rigorous.
Right. Carl, over to you.
Siri.
Yeah. Modest gains here, guys. NASDAQ's in the lead. Let's get to Bob Pisani. Hey, Bob.
Hello, Carl. Happy Wednesday, everybody. Mixed open today, 3-2 advancing to declining stocks. Take a look at the sectors. Oil's creeping back up again towards $41. That's helping energy out. The banks are mixed. Mixed reporting there. We'll get to that. Industrials, okay. Materials, healthcare a little bit on the downside. That's mixed here. All over the place. Goldman had a big beat on the earnings, just top line. Bank of America was about in line. PNC and U.S. Bancorp, I love watching the super regionals. They had good numbers overall here. The only one really light was Wells Fargo, and a lot of moving parts there. Net interest margin was on the light side, and they have a big mortgage division kind of all over the place. I just want to show you here about just generally what we know about the banks so far. Even with a mostly earnings beat and lower credit provisions, it's hard to move the stocks forward here. The credit provisions are definitely lower. Deposits are increasing. But the big question is, if you don't have a trading operation, how do you make money in your bank? You get loan growth, which is fairly tepid. You get a change in the net interest margin, and that's not happening. That's basically flat to lower. Or maybe fees. You can get them. They're up slightly for some of them because the mortgage applications are higher. That's why fees have been increasing. But look at Bancorp, U.S. Bancorp. They're in Minneapolis. This is a big commercial slash consumer business. Very broad, very good company to look at to get an idea of what the consumer and commercial loans are doing. Their average loans are down quarter over quarter. This is commercial is down. But look, you see all that residential mortgage increase? They've been doing gangbusters on the mortgages. We've been reporting that. Credit cards are generally up slightly higher as well, quarter over quarter. So there's a little bit of good news and a little bit of bad news there. The bad news is banks are going nowhere this year. The bank ETF is down 30%, folks. 30% year to date. That's the problem overall. Now, earnings are better than expected overall, but this whole Wall Street versus Main Street thing is still very much alive. And that's because there's a real difference in how the earnings are coming in here. So spending on goods is generally increased overall, but spending on services has decreased. Well, that's a big thing. Remember, Wall Street versus Main Street, services are a big part of the Main Street economy. Not so much on the Wall Street economy. Services as a percentage of U.S. economic activity is 83%, but it's only 50% or so of the S&P profits. So when you have skewed more towards production of goods than Main Street, production of goods are higher. This is all helping Wall Street. This is the main reason our profits are diminishing, why Wall Street seems to be doing better than Main Street overall. That's the important distinction. Of course, we have the mega cap names benefiting from work from home as well. More on the differences between Wall Street and Main Street and the earnings situation coming in at tradertalk.cnbc.com. Carl, back to you.
All right, Bob. Thanks. Meantime, we continue to sift through some of these Fed headlines today. Let's get to Rick Santelli.
You know, whether it's Fed headlines, Carl, or hotter than expected producer price index, you look at the intraday of 10s, very little response to any of the headlines or any of the recent news or economic releases outside of, hey, we want some stimulus possibly. You know, the equity markets in the States doing pretty well, globally not doing too bad, in Japan not doing too bad. But it's not the type of economic realities that we are really hoping for because interest rates aren't paired up and correlated with it. I'll show you what I mean. Look at a September 1st start to our 10 years. Definitely well off its high yields. Let's look at gilts. This is a month to date of gilt since beginning of September, 2 months to date. And what you see there is definitely a drift. At 21 basis points, it's at the lows of October on a closing basis. Bond yields. This chart goes all the way back to mid-April. They are now at the lowest yields since the end of April. Let's call it 5.5 months. And Italian 10s at 63, well, they're at all-time forever low yields. And with sovereign yields this low, it's hard to inspire economic confidence, especially outside of some of the issues of governments and central banks applying and helping boost economic data points. Carl, Jim, David, back to you.
All right, Rick, thanks so much. We'll take a look at the markets here. Some modest gains of financials as a sector, almost exactly flat, even as Goldman blows the doors off. Goldman shares are higher, but Bank of America down about 2%, and Wells Fargo down about 3%. We're back in a moment. SEC Chair Jay Clayton weighing in on SPACs this morning on Squawk Box. Take a listen.
People should understand that, that you don't have that institutional investor base kicking the tires around the transaction to the same extent that you would in a traditional IPO. People should understand that. I'm not saying they're fundamentally problems here. In fact, like I said, I like competition. I like direct listings. I like this type of thing. But we need to make sure investors understand the dynamics of the transaction are getting that same good disclosure.
Comes a day, Jim, after Larry Fink told us that it's putting pressure on private equity, but there is the chance that they could result in what he called accidents down the road.
Well, look, I had a terrific guy, Eric Grubman, on the other day. He has a sports entertainment SPAC, and he was the former executive vice president of the NFL. He ran Constellation when that got in trouble. Remember that Baltimore Gas and Electric, basically?
Yeah.
He was a submarine commander before he worked at Goldman as a partner. I have always wanted to invest in a guy like Grubman, but he's never been able to because he's always just been a guy who works at a big company. But he's got a terrific SPAC, and you're backing the person. That's what I think people have to recognize. It's the cult of personality. And if you like the person, then you can back them.
Right. But the key is that for them, they have the ability to raise the money. There's very, very little, if no downside. Obviously, it takes some time. But for the investor, you can decide whether to go in or not. Right.
But there's
pride
involved.
Get redeemed at $10. Yeah. But
right.
you know,
I mean,
so
is Gary Cohen going to fail?
His partner's probably more important than he is. Cliff Robbins actually a lot more important than Gary Cohen. No offense to Gary.
All right.
He's been around a lot longer and a lot more savvy.
You can't. It's like I want to invest in some people. Well, yeah. I can't invest in anybody except for Fiverr. Just kidding. Seriously.
As long as you know what it does, Jim, we're Fiverr. Golden.
They bring
we'll take a break here. More Squawk on the
it's
street.
It's a freelance album.
After the break. Jim, let's do some stop trading.
All right. Look, it's an unbelievable thing. This guy, Mark Tritton, comes on, takes over what people think is a failed outfit at Bed Bath & Beyond, and he's changing the merchandise. He's fixing things up, and he actually sold the Christmas tree shops business. He sets 80 brick and mortar. He actually sold it. He sold Linen Holdings. I thought he was going to just close these. Honest to God, I didn't think he'd get anybody. He ends up with $250 million. I don't know how he talked someone into buying a Christmas tree shops. I've been there. In the month of July, no go. So anyway, Mark Tritton is a genius. The more you look at this one, I'll see it fastly and I'll raise you at Bed Bath. Don't play the Fiverr card.
Don't look that different.
Look at that.
Jim, what's on Mad tonight?
I got VMware and I have Medtronic. Medtronic, they better get their act together. They're getting killed in diabetes. But what a show. And David, never forget it. Fiverr and Fastly.
Got it. Fiverr and Fastly.
And you ask those people what they do, and you know what they say. They go higher.
We'll see you at 6, Jim. Mad Money, of course, 6 p.m. Eastern Time. You've been listening to the opening bell on CNBC's Squawk on the Street.